Greetings from BBS Radio, where truth and news still exist in the original form. You're tuned in to The Spiritual Politician, the show that shows you where politics, government, and selfishness went very, very wrong, and how you can take action to make it right. I'm Melinda Pillsbury Foster, your host for this hour of insight after insight, aimed at making each of us more responsible, more cooperative, and more aware of the spiritual bonds that connect us to each other, no matter what we find to squabble over in the interim. Now, you can call us at BBS toll-free from the U.S. to 877-876-5227. You can call us from Canada to 888-810-8322. Or you can call us direct to 530-876-3222. This show is carried online, and you may also be able to get it on the air in your local area. To find out if one of those old-fashioned on-the-air stations in your area carries this show, contact us at bbsradio.com. The website for this show can be found on the BBS Radio site and at spiritualpolitician.blogspot.com. All past shows become available as soon as it is humanly or even extra-humanly possible on the station archives. My own blog is located at howtheneoconsstolefreedom.blogspot.com. This week, it's about the thumb-fingered attempt to exclude presidential candidate Ron Paul from the presidential forum sponsored by those two neocon groups in Iowa. Give it a read when you have a moment. The exclusion of Ron Paul from the forum in Iowa has resulted in a wave of protest and activism from the congressman's supporters. They don't like that very much in those two groups. Ed Failer Jr., the organizer of the forum, has been receiving calls from across the country demanding that Paul be included. Coldwell Banker, included as a co-sponsor, pulled its name a few days ago. Krishna Engineering and a local lighting company remain on board. The owner of Krishna Engineering is actually the state treasurer for the second sponsoring group, Iowa Christian Alliance. There is literally not anyone involved who one would have reason to believe might be objective. The following appears on the website of a local accounting business in Des Moines, Iowa. Quote, "The group, Iowans for Tax Relief, has a name that belies its purpose. It supports special interest carve-outs and corporate welfare tax subsidies that shrink the tax base and raise the rates on the rest of us. It also refuses to even consider eliminating the deduction for state income taxes in exchange for lower rates. All of this gets the Iowa tax system great publicity. Earlier this week, Iowa was listed by the Tax Foundation as having one of the 10 worst tax environments for business, thanks in no small part to the work of Iowans for Tax Relief. Yesterday, Iowa made another top 10 list in a Wall Street Journal editorial titled Meathead Economics. Iowa listed right up there with glamorous states like New York, California, Hawaii, and New Jersey. If we just lowered the rates and eliminated the deduction, 6.46% would get us out of the meathead top 10 list. But thanks to Iowans for Tax Relief, there it is. Some people say they don't trust the legislature to keep the creep to creep the rates back up. That's where a supermajority for tax increases or a Colorado-style taxpayer bill of rights comes into play. Maybe IFTR will consider changing their name to the more accurate Iowans for Special Interest Loopholes and High Rates. P.S. Iowa's 12% top corporate rate is still number one. Thanks, IFTR." Unquote. But perhaps Ron Paul's supporters should be grateful to old Ed Phelan. Ben Olson, the new interim chairman of Ron Paul Republicans for Iowa, wrote this to old Ed this morning. "Dearest Ed, been thinking it over and want to thank you for excluding Dr. Paul. You have done him a real favor and given him a real boost of favorable publicity, far more than appearing on your rinky-dink forum. Nice going. Caught you on Michelson's show yesterday. You seemed a little shrill and defensive. I wonder why. Signed, Ben." And now our thought for the week ahead. We're rapidly approaching another July 4th, the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. The declaration first tells the reader what it's going to tell them and why, and then it lays out the mission statement for our rights. It goes on with a bill of particulars, enumerating the reasons action is necessary and why those actions are absolutely justified. Here's what it says, quote, "The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." The list is long. If you substitute the name of George W. Bush for, quote, the King of Great Britain, you will have the perfect beginning for what needs to happen today. The Bill of Particulars is different. Those we have to change. When we read the mission statement today, begin thinking about that Bill of Particulars updated. Make your own list and send them in. We'll be getting new facts ready for you. In the Declaration, it says that this is, and this is solid gold true, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. That means we put up with a whole lot. But the time comes when something clicks. It just happens, and we realize that the whole system is seriously broken. For many people, that time has arrived. Ron Paul is a candidate whose supporters mention as the one man who understands that need. When you're changing the institutions, bringing them back into alignment with where we need to go, one of the first is law and our courts. How do the people fight back? How do the people retake the courts? How do they obtain justice this side of violent revolution? Last week we heard from Greg Slaughter about how to use the common law to fight the use of traffic tickets as a means for extracting money from us. This week we're going further in the same direction. This week we're going to talk about the IRS and the whole structure of the law and how it needs to be changed. There isn't a simple answer, as we all realize, but there are ways, and David Merlin is one of the people who have been doing just that. A case at a time. With his help, you too can become a part of the solution to reestablishing justice in America's courts. For David Merlin, the whole thing started around April 15, 1988. The IRS knocked on his door and informed him he owed taxes on some tips he had earned 4 years previous. David Merlin is the fastest barkeep in the West or anywhere else. In 1984 had been the last year he filed a 1040. His reaction was different than most people's. David Merlin began studying the law. It was a bad day for injustice when that happened. Realizing that those who confront the system lose, David began an intense study of the law and the IRS code. By 1992, he was working as a full-time taxpayer advocate, helping out others as well as writing statute that solved problems in several states. That intense study resulted in a thorough understanding of the founding principles and a contiguous understanding of how Americans have been sold a bill of ungoods. His insights resulted in a series of tutorials that work, enabling the user to confront and defeat the system. You can find those online at Your Remedy is in the Law. Over the years, I have seen dozens of tax protesters, many of them self-destructing, throwing themselves over the cliff. I've seen seminar producers or citizens go down in flames. But that's not going to happen with David Merlin. He takes steps. Merlin understands the law and practice, too, where the statutory bodies are buried and how to use the truth. He's going to talk to you about that this evening. Please welcome David Merlin. David, are you there? David, hello. Well, he was there a moment ago. And here we are. We found David Merlin, who managed to get him lost somehow in the Nether regions. But now he's back with us, and we're going to start talking about him. So, David, thanks so much for joining us today.
Can you hear me this time?
I can hear you, David, and it's a wonderful
sound. How about
sound.
That? All right.
Yes. And we always start by asking our guests to tell us something about themselves. So tell us a little bit about David Merlin.
Well, I operate under a government-issued attitude. It's terrible. Every time I'm forced into contact with public servants, I make sure that I leave them with feelings that convince them that they should just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the law set aside so many times for the sake of public servants that deserve to be punished that I'm determined to stay more aggressive than anybody else they encounter with regards to litigation. And, you know, when I say aggressive, I'm not just some scofflaw out there with, you know, no plates and no insurance and all that good stuff. I choose my battles, but the method I go at a case with is intended to cause great discomfort on the other side, especially government attorneys and public servants across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I developed all this offensive style of pleading through necessity when I don't like going to a public servant to ask them to honor my rights. I'd rather tell them that they had better honor these criminal statutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to push a court to where the judge has to commit a crime just to keep the case in court.
And well, that's a good approach.
And then I file criminal complaints over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that no one out there believes that a judge wants a criminal complaint filed against them. No judge wants that, and so I always do it. And so victories
well, they must be
come.
Very anxious not to deal with you.
Well, victories might come in many different shapes and sizes, okay? You might not get your case dismissed, but after that, they're going to, when you litigate this way, they're probably going to say, leave him alone for the little stuff, unless he's hurting people. I don't want him in my court.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to teach people a fast track to understanding the most basic elements of litigation and how to turn them into an offense at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing to make the judges very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that with criminal complaints, and I do it very well. I've got a page up on the web that your listeners can go to where they can see some freebies, I call them. It'll show you that.
Could you give them that URL right now?
You what?
Yeah, could you give them, is that your remedy is in the law?
Well, no, that's where you can find my courses. I was going to tell them where the freebies page is.
Okay, give them that URL for the freebies page so they can go and take a look at it.
The freebies page is at noconfidence.com. Noconfidence.com I'm just using as a splash page right now. And at the top of the page, you'll see seminars, materials, and freebies. Click on the freebies link.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take you to the freebies page. And when I say criminal complaint, you'll have a couple examples of criminal complaints on that page, in addition to a whole bunch of other really fun stuff, especially the small claims actions. I got 3 small claims suits that stopped government in its tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Who out there cannot go to small claims court?
Oh, okay. Government.
The solutions don't have to be lofty. Everybody can do small claims court, can't you?
Well, certainly everybody, because you have to do it by yourself anyway.
Well, I know, but it's not like making a federal case out of it. You don't have to be a legal wizard. Sometimes you can just reach out and take remedy. Our system is a Ferrari, and when you trust it as one, you can get remedy very quickly sometimes.
Hmm.
Because our founding fathers knew just what they were doing when they put this thing together, and the only problem I have is with the people operating the system for me, my servants.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
system's great. When you get justice in America, it'll make you cry. It's so sweet. And when you don't get justice and you know the judge's job, you can usually narrow it down to the judge not doing his job.
Well, and then that takes care of it for most people. But, of course, people are very much intimidated by the whole court system, and they end up going to those things called lawyers. And what you're really talking about is pro se, right?
No, there's I've seen lawyers get tattooed also. If it's an unpopular case, it doesn't matter what kind of representation you have. But on the other hand, there are spectacles out there that are obtained by very great lawyers. And I would direct you to my freebies page, noconfidence.com. I'm going to go there right now. I'll tell you, this attorney, she's a dragon slayer. I'm sincere.
Really?
You're going to see it. I'm sincere. She's Attorney the Hun. Okay.
Attorney the Hun. I love it.
Yeah, I mean it. It's over. I'm on my freebies page. I went to noconfidence.com. I clicked on freebies. And I scroll down to the bottom of the page and go up about five or six links, and it says free speech. And I click on free speech. And what you're going to see on this page, down at the bottom, there's a quote from a court case that happened in Seattle, Federal District Court. This website operator, a very civically minded gentleman, former Navy SEAL, took a shine to the Kirkland City Police Department. He didn't like them. And he started putting together a database of personal information relative to public servants across the board. He had home and work email addresses, mailing addresses of corrections officers, prosecutors, drug task force, judges, everybody. And he had aerial photographs of some people's homes, photographs of their license plates. He was really noxious about this. But in the case of Kirkland Police, he also had on the web their social security numbers. He had everybody's bankruptcy court, tax court, divorce court, and criminal court docket numbers, all their lien numbers, everything on them. But Kirkland, he included social security numbers. That's what distinguished Kirkland from the rest of the people he was informing about. And Kirkland sued him in Superior Court, and Superior Court says this is a free speech except for the social security numbers. They have to go. And so our county district attorney, Norm Mailing, recently deceased, and now governor, then Attorney General Christine Gregoire, went to the state legislature to get a law against that free speech. And the legislature passed a law making it a misdemeanor and a civil cause of action for somebody to publish that information in correlation with the fact that the people are public servants. And before the ink was dry, this guy went downtown Seattle and got an attorney. That attorney took him into federal district court and killed that law before the ink was dry.
That's fantastic. What's the name of the attorney?
That's the single most aggressive move I've seen an attorney make. Her name is Elena Garella. And at the bottom of this page, you'll see a quote right out of federal district court where federal district court was ugly to our state attorney general when he granted summary judgment to the web operator, the website operator. It was just a beautiful victory. I swear, it's just cause for a celebration to see the most unpopular guy on the planet getting justice this firm. So there are some good attorneys out there.
That's fantastic. Of course, it was justice for all of us, too, because that could have resulted in a lot, you know, a real problem with free speech.
That's right, a lot of coercion.
Yes, and absolutely.
And
well,
that,
she certainly is to be commended. It's nice to know that there's a good attorney out there.
Oh, but to kill it before the ink was dry. Oh,
yes.
You go, girl.
Yes, absolutely.
For anybody listening, that case number, that's Seattle U.S. District Court in Seattle, Washington, docket number 02-1112C. That's 02-1112C, decided on May 22nd of 2003.
It's too bad they don't give them more colorful names, isn't it? Instead of it's a number. If it had a more colorful name, like Elena Gorilla squashes the, you know, squashes so-and-so, it would be easier to remember.
Yeah, like a tag, professional wrestling tag team match.
That's right.
A marquee out in front of the courthouse.
I think that that would be more colorful, yes.
Well, but I'll tell you what, the number she did on them over that is just, really, it'll always blow me away. Before the ink was dry, this female attorney goes in and just tears the hair out of our attorney general. Sweet story.
That's a thing of beauty and joy forever, absolutely. And you've taken off, you've actually taken courts, you know, the cases that involve the IRS, too, and, you know, done some interesting damage to them there.
The most interesting is at present. A case in Seattle. I live in the Seattle area. And a guy came to me who had been raided by the IRS. And that was under a criminal search warrant obtained by the IRS. And on the civil side, he was sued for promoting abusive tax shelters. And they penalized me a year and a half ago for promoting abusive tax shelters twice. Each time they penalized me a penny, and they paid it for me, leaving a penalty of zero, telling me don't send payment. If you want to challenge this, you can go to federal district court. Well, I didn't want to remain somebody who had failed to complain about their penalties, so I wrote a criminal complaint about my entire analysis of the tax code and filed it with Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it remains absolutely without challenge or it's utterly unassailed. Not a word has been spoken about it. All told, it was a 180-page filing. And if you go to noconfidence.com homepage,
mm-hmm.
right below the first links on the page, I think two lines down, I just did this a few minutes before the call, noconfidence.com homepage, you'll see tocongress.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a link, but those are my two free curriculums online, tocongress.com and publicvehiculartravel.com.
Uh-huh.
And on tocongress.com is where you'll find that criminal complaint that I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm. And so people can go online and they can read this.
Oh,
and they can see how you did it. And they can see what your overall strategy is, which is always taking the battle into the other guy's court.
You never score on defense.
That's right. Which, unfortunately, a lot of people in the movement don't seem to understand.
They wouldn't recognize an offense if they saw it. And so it's a matter of education. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
And that's basically what you've been doing. You've been educating people on how they can win in court.
How they can at least become a more effective litigant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sell silver bullets, and I'm not saying you're going to beat the system. I'm saying that there's a way to litigate where you are using the system in such a belligerent fashion that they don't want you back.
Mm-hmm. Because it costs them too much.
I plead belligerently. In these lower courts where the citizen that's not the hellion out wreaking havoc upon the land, okay? In these lower courts, the misdemeanor courts, gross misdemeanor courts, failure to provide information to a policeman, all these little misdemeanors they have at their disposal to get you with, it's a money-making court.
Mm-hmm.
And in that court, you make the court run slower, they make less money.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the court run backwards because you're so efficient as a litigant that you're hitting them with motions and discovery and things that they have to comply with, that they actually lose money by bringing you in there. There, now, okay, you're on a learning curve toward becoming that citizen that they don't want to talk to. And that's what I basically do, is give you a fast track to becoming somebody they don't want in their court.
And so that goes along with your strategy of filing criminal complaints against the judge, because if you do that, of course, that's costing him.
Yeah, that's the brass ring. It's not that you're going to get the judge thrown in jail. Let's not be dreamers. However, it's laundry. You can then send that criminal complaint to the Commission on Judicial Conduct and complain that the judge be censured or removed. No judge wants you to have that laundry in their hand. If they're an elected judge, the next time they're up for election, their opponent's going to have a copy of that criminal complaint in their hand. No judge mm-hmm. wants somebody wandering around out there with a valid criminal complaint about them. So
mm-hmm.
The most you'll get out of this is laundry factor. However, they don't like it, and so I do it.
mm-hmm.
Remember
that
feeling, Your Honor. It's worked. It works and it doesn't work. It depends on, you know, you're facing corruption. And so don't expect corruption to suddenly become fair. It's a battle. However, there are ways you can use your pleadings to intimidate them more than the simple defendant that comes in there and say, oh, I have rights. Honor my rights, please.
Mm-hmm.
So it
raises their transaction costs.
Not only that, but it also introduces them for the law, maybe for the first time in a long time, and you might be able to scare them with criminal complaints. For the first time, mm-hmm. they're wondering if they're facing handcuffs. That's mm-hmm. a brand new feeling for them. So.
Yeah, so they're on the defensive, and that's a good place to have them be.
It's the best place.
Yes.
If I can point to a specific, I'm going to the homepage of noconfidence.com.
Okay.
And what I want to do is show people the first just a couple links here. At the top, freebies, I'll take you to the freebies page. A lot of wonderful stuff to peruse there, really wonderful page full of stuff. And then it says log in with your username to view other stuff. Go ahead and go to yourremediesinthelaw.com by clicking on the word here. And choose a username and password. You can find out about the courses I'm offering. Then the next line down, tocongress.com, that's my tax curriculum. Publicvehiculartravel.com, that's about motor vehicles. On each of those sites, you'll find that I've filed criminal complaints with the federal government regarding the tax code and the motor vehicle code, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
These arguments convinced me so well with their firm foundation in the letter of the law that I had to file criminal complaints about it.
Mm-hmm.
As you scroll down the page, you see the paragraph that begins with Tennessee teachers. They staged a mock school gunman shooting and terrorized a bunch of children.
That's horrifying.
That's right. And that link that says read more will take you to an article about it. And then it says, did the teachers violate this Tennessee state criminal statute? You click on that, and it'll take you to the Tennessee statute on, I think it's assault. It's
mm-hmm.
not third or fourth degree. It just says assault. And the description of assault is what the teachers did to those children. So there's an example of, boom, criminal code is broken all the time by these people. It's a target-rich environment. The next line down, Minnesota has this problem. That'll take you to an article online about Muslim cab drivers in Minneapolis and St. Paul refusing to take on customers who had been drinking or who possessed alcohol or who were using a seeing eye dog. And I called Minneapolis and St. Paul and left a message on their message machines over the weekend a few weeks ago, and I said I heard about the problem, I have a solution, and I told them about the next link here on this page. You open that, I have this solution link.
Uh-huh.
There's an ordinance I wrote that provides for a 30-day suspension of a taxi's license if they refuse customers, and it's got a whole structure to it. And I heard 2 weeks after that I passed that along to them that Minneapolis was thinking of passing an ordinance giving a 30-day suspension for failure to give a fare. So,
amazing. And that gets into something else that you do, and that is the Citizens Initiative.
Well, that's exactly what that is an initiative, if it was going to be on the state level, but it's just a law that could be passed as an ordinance. I wrote it to be passed as an ordinance. And the city, you know, I called them up and I said, check out my homepage and go click on a certain link. And lo and behold, they're going to pass an ordinance that if you refuse to take somebody on that should get the services you're offering, then you're going to get your license suspended, whether you're a taxi cab driver, a pharmacist, or a cosmetologist, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right below that, you see an Oregon statute against telephone harassment. I put that up for a guy that was trying to sabotage my conference calls. He lived in Oregon. But the next link, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, we've seen in vivid detail the influence that hip-hop culture has on youth and their future opportunities,
mm-hmm.
haven't we?
Well, yes, it certainly has an interesting impact.
Okay. I was a track and field coach, and I've done a lot for children, and I just see it as a real pipeline for illegitimate individuals to have contact with our children when they shouldn't really even be near them. And so if you click on that, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, I wrote an initiative, proposed, it has a preamble saying, we the people of this state find that blah, 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 blah. And then a statute, you can see it's well considered, it's not perfect yet, but putting the same requirements on hip-hop that pornography has on it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're 18, you can't be listening to it or be found in possession of it. And if somebody subjects somebody that's under 18 to hip-hop, they can be reported. If I reported it and ratted them out, I get one-third of the money they ultimately pay for having violated the statute.
So actually, you create an incentive for people to report
a whistleblower clause, right. So anyway, that would give you an example of, you know, how my mind works. I see a problem. Well, I think that because it's not free speech, what the teachers say in school, I think we can tell them what to say in school. And that statute requires that they instruct children that rap is not music.
Mm-hmm.
There. Now our culture will be protected even by our school teachers.
And the whole idea of using initiative by citizens so that they can change the law, of course, has enormous application. And you had mentioned a site, ballot.org.
Yeah, I haven't been there in quite a while. Let's see if that's working. Ballot.org.
And the point is allowing people to see what they can do in their state using initiative so that they can, use this means of changing the law in their state.
It beats litigating, because when you litigate, you're giving a judge an opportunity to thwart you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if instead you use the initiative process for something that you know a grassroots type of swelling of support would gather around. You don't want a legal issue on the ballot. Those
mm-hmm.
really do have to go to court. But a policy matter, a real good one, and I mentioned this to you earlier when we spoke, Melinda, how we, the people of this state, have come together with this initiative. We, over the last 20 years, have become acutely aware of the money problems, the impecunity that the
mm-hmm.
municipalities all complain of. And to help curb some of this budgetary woe, we hereby abolish all pensions for public servants except teachers and firefighters.
Well, that would be popular.
Oh, okay. Do you want enemies or don't you? You just file that ballot at the right time saying you're going to go out on a signature drive and watch what the media does with that.
Well, they would love it.
I wrote a law that prohibits, a statute that would prohibit
mm-hmm.
the state and municipalities from dealing in anything other than gold or silver.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on the ballot or put it up for for signature drive. So
mm-hmm.
anyway... there's a lot you can do. Our system is great. And
yes. And so what you're saying that you do is you can use these means, and they don't directly impact the court, but they impact what the court has to decide on, you know, on basis that it's statute.
Right. And even if you don't pursue it with a signature drive, it'll be covered by the media as one which has been filed.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and get a website for it. Inform the media that it's been filed and that you're going to go out on a signature drive and just see what they say.
And that must have an impact because if you do one of those and people see it filed, one of the things that generally happens is that somebody goes, wow, that's a swell idea, and I think I'm going to go do that myself, and then they can actually go do the work. This is the principle of you know, letting somebody steal the puppy and raise it, if you know what I mean. So they can kidnap it. Well, you come up with an idea, and you can't, you know, people who come up with ideas, they can't take care of all the ideas themselves. And so what they do is they let other people take the ideas and go run with it.
I see.
And that could happen. And it sounds certainly the one about the pensions, you can see somebody just deciding that that would be the most fantastic idea and going and deciding they're going to do it. And one of the things that would be kind of fun to do would be to put up a list of great initiatives that people could do and then kind of streamline them into doing it in their state.
Well, I've already written probably in the neighborhood of 120 statutes. For all the different problems I saw going on in lower courts and with the Department of Motor Vehicles and other modes of enforcement, public defenders and ineffective counsel and stuff, I started writing statutes to cure policy that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the list of statutes I've written, it's like home run after home run after home run. If you've been in our court system at all to any appreciable degree, you'd see that the statutes I'm writing, they just throw a ring around all of our public servants and make them operate in the box. They have to stay in their confines.
Mm-hmm.
And the law, it has slack in it, and it hasn't been attended to for a long time. And so the executive and judicial branches have found ways around it. It needs another tune-up,
mm-hmm.
to tighten up some of the slack in certain areas. And California is terrible. It's got a terrible code. And I'd like to see somebody in California collect about 30 or 40 statutes from other states and supply them to all your legislators, saying, you know, we got a terrible code here. Can we please get an official misconduct statute, official oppression statute, criminal attempt statute? Can we get an unlawful imprisonment statute? There's a lot of things California needs on a real basic level, but which you can turn around and use against a lot of modes of misenforcement as well.
Mm-hmm. And those are all things that could be just fantastic and work. And people simply need the ideas, because it's amazing when they get the idea, a lot of people will simply go and do it. And that changes things a lot.
It really could be something very simple. And by the way, ballot.org is up and running, so go for it. Wonderful site.
It is, and I have to share something with you. This is the site that did the Howie Rich site. I don't know if you were aware of that happening last year, but we actually had on our program Hart Williams, who outed Howie Rich, who had been using ballot initiatives as a way for them to make money. They got corporations to donate money to their quote-unquote nonprofit foundation, and then they would go in and create statute in states through the ballot process that enabled corporations to go in and abuse the people, and it was done very covertly. And this is the site that actually cooperated and did the Howie Rich, you know, expose. I think it was called Howie Rich Exposed or something like that. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting coincidence there.
Sure, and, you know, a law can be written very quickly. And a lot of the problems we face are very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So writing the law can be the simplest part of actually getting an initiative effort mounted.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to make sure it conforms with whatever the law is in that state, of course. Otherwise, they simply won't. They might even let you do the initiative, but then they'll strike it down in court, and that's happened in California on many occasions.
Sure, and about pensions, of course, you want to check your state constitution first to see if it provides for pensions. You don't want to be wasting your time, of course.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
but,
absolutely.
That's an example of something you can just do to really just, you know, twist them in the clamps right there. mm-hmm. in their pension and just watch the fallout. You can have fun doing some of this stuff too, okay? Like a great example, okay, my freebies page. Go to noconfidence.com. In the top left of the page, click on freebies.
Yes.
And on the freebies page, three links, four links down, you got a link that says small claims. This is terribly funny. You click on small claims. It opens up a page that describes three small claims cases to you, and there's a link for each one of those. They're PDF documents where you can read the documents filed in the three small claims cases.
Uh-huh.
The one there in particular was, it's a case that I call the Constitutionalist of Monte Cristo.
Oh, this is up right up at the top.
Yeah, we use small claims court to get even with a cop that had a real foul mouth and a tendency to abuse his authority. He pulls over a Washington State resident who's driving without valid tabs. They had expired. And the cop approaches the window, "Your papers, please." And this citizen knew that cops are required here in Washington to provide proof of their evidence of authorization. It's a photo ID that cops have to carry. So he says, "I see your gun, you got your badge, your lights and everything. Can I see your evidence of authorization, please?" And the cop leans into his lapel mic and says, "Give me backup, I got a constitutionalist." And the citizen says, "There's no need to get excited, I just wanted to see." And the cop says, "Shut up. If you don't shut up, I'm going to empty this can of mace in your face. Get out of the car." And busts the guy for resisting arrest, obstruction of a police officer, and refusal to provide information or something else. Like a year and a half in jail and $5,000 plus fines.
For mentioning the Constitution.
What's that?
For mentioning the Constitution. Horrors.
No, for asking to see the guy's photo ID. Law
yes.
requires it, and because of that, the guy called him a constitutionalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy came to my seminar in 97, and he says, "What do we do here?" I said, "Why are you in all this trouble anyway?" He says, "I don't know." I says, "Because you're a damn constitutionalist." "What is that?" He says, "I don't know." I said, "I don't know either, but to keep you out of trouble, we're going to need that definition, aren't we?" And so I wrote it all up, but he petitioned the precinct for a definition of constitutionalist.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew they couldn't afford to give it to him. We asked for something they couldn't afford to give to him. They were out of line. Every time they're out of line, there's going to be something they can't afford to talk about. That's where you hit them.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't respond in 20 days, and so he sued them in small claims court for a lease on the definition, $2,500 a month or a week maybe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they scheduled the hearing, and then the county filed a motion to continue because the cop was going to be on vacation in Nebraska and all the expense of getting him back here and then flying him back. Can't we continue this for 30 days? And the citizen agreed with me. That's a heck of a spot to be left in. 30 days longer where you can be maced for asking for photo ID from a cop the law requires they give you.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get the point. Let's sue him again. So he sued them for 1 day's lease on the definition, $2,500. If he's not here the day of trial, I want $2,500 lease. And instead of serving him on the job, this county sheriff, we went to the King County Administration Building, voter records, and had his name and address in 1 minute. There's only one Gary Zornis in the whole county. And we went to his doorstep at 8:30 on a Saturday morning, first day of his vacay, and served his wife on that doorstep with our lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
And she hit the roof, okay? Big woman. She could throw me like a dart, no question. And she chased the process server out in the front yard, screaming obscenities at him. "Got to go to the precinct, beep, beep." And we drove out of there. When they saw that this defendant was willing to sue the cop and find the cop at his house, that whole stack of criminal charges became a year's deferred sentence on a lesser charge of failure to obey a cop. And he was good for a year, so it didn't go on his record, and $307 in fines. It was all the guy wanted out of the case. He just wanted out of it. And so we used small claims court to get him out of it. It worked like a charm. And then there's a couple other small claims instances you'll see on that page there that just threw government for a loop. So don't think that you have to be some great big monster F. Lee Bailey out there, okay? There's things in our system for the little guy, too.
So what you're really saying here is that what you can't afford is to stay in the box they put you in. You have to think outside the box, and you have to always be on the offensive when you're doing one of these cases.
The box is called ignorance. That's the chain that binds you. They have to keep you in that box, and I preach a fast track to understanding the biggest reasons why. And it's because they live in crime. And once you know your criminal code and you know some of their jobs, you know when they're committing crimes. And your criminal code is wonderful. It's easier to write criminal complaints than civil complaints.
And a lot of people have gone through your class, they've read the curriculum, and then they go out and they do these cases, and they have a really good hit rate, right? They manage to go out there and they manage to take care of the problem.
It takes some knowledge of litigation to get to where you're going to get a victory, okay? And I'm talking about them running from a case. But what I do is teach tactics to use in the procedure that might accumulate to a victory. It might accumulate to a lessening of the charges, and you get out of there with just administrative costs, but they leave you alone in the future. Okay, it's about effective litigation. It's not about beating the system. It's about beating them up every time they try to touch you. Whether they succeed or not is another matter, but at least make them get on the treadmill and run you a marathon. And so I'm not going to tell anybody you're going to go out there and you're going to win, because then I'd be like everybody else in the Patriot Movement. I don't sell silver bullets. You're up against corruption. There's no guarantees against corruption. It's crime. And so
absolutely.
Okay, and so the more you point that out to them, the less popular you'll be. And that's a victory. And so I'm not
because that educates everybody else in the room and everybody else who actually hears about the case, too.
But let's look at one example. In Shasta County, you need a GPS system to find this guy's 40 acres out in West County. He's way out there, and the county went out there and picked a fight with him. They trespassed onto his property, said you built this without a permit, built this without a permit, never got a permit for the septic system for your mobile home, and public nuisance, and whatever, okay? And brought a bunch of false charges against him. They were false, five against him and five against his wife, all misdemeanors. And he met me in Richard McDonald's chat room, and he says, you're talking a different game. Can I contact you? I said, yeah, let's talk. And I said, I'm talking offense. I don't play defense. And he said, okay, well, you know, what would you do in my case? And I looked at what he'd filed already. It was eight different documents he had filed thus far. And they were common law demurs, you know, all defensive and very ineffective. And I said, I'll help you. And the first thing we did was file a criminal complaint for barratry under California Penal Code Section 157 and 158 for bringing false charges. And the prosecutor immediately got in a plane with a photographer and an inspector and flew over that whole area taking pictures and came back and doubled the charges. Well, all of this stuff was happening on other people's property. Mobile homes stored without a permit. They're somebody else's property, somebody else's mobile homes. Built this without a permit. We found things wrong with the essential elements she was alleging, the prosecutor was alleging. So anyway, she doubled the charges. And from 6 months of false prosecution, he had lost 50 pounds. His health was really bad. And he got stressed in the hospital for heart spasms. And I said, what we need to do is reduce the pressure. We need to pull her teeth. What would you be willing to plead guilty to? And we narrowed it down to three charges he'd be willing to plead guilty to if all the rest were dropped against his wife and the remaining seven against him. So I told him, your wife's public defender is cool. We'll tell her everything. But don't tell your public defender a thing. He's one of the guys. And but get everything you can out of discovery and tell him to tell a whisper to the prosecutor, plea agreement. See what she says. So his public defender calls the prosecutor, and the prosecutor, Martha Gandy, says, okay, I'll drop nine charges against him, and only the public nuisance charge will stay, and I'll drop all charges against the wife. So we weren't going to have to attack three. We were only going to have to attack one of the false charges. So he pled guilty for health reasons, and before the prosecutor got off the property, we served her with a motion to vacate. So the court, the case was totally full open again before she could even get off the property. And On appeal, it was admitted that the charges were false from the beginning, and she got demoted to fish and game. By the time we were done with two levels of appeal, two prosecutors had been fired, the judge retired 10 years early, and two members of the Board of Supervisors resigned, one of whom this defendant was going to be running against last June had they not resigned.
Well, that's quite a victory.
that's quite
that's
a trophy
amazing.
Wall, right? Yeah, isn't
that
it?
That goes on the trophy wall.
And
absolutely.
You know, they stonewalled us on the appeals of the denying of the motion to vacate. They said you filed your motion to vacate before your appeal rights expired on your guilty plea, so that created an extra avenue to appeal, and you can't do that. And we found Supreme Court case law that said a motion to vacate that argues innocence cannot be procedurally trumped, and they trumped us anyway, so we let the appeals die, and when he chooses, he can go right back into that court and get it vacated with a regular motion to vacate now that all appeal rights are expired. So we walked that line, and the court screwed us along that line, no big deal, but we really left a wake in Shasta County, California.
Well, it sounds like it. It sounds like they had very different personnel in the office after that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, he got stressed into the hospital twice with heart spasms, okay? That's the threat of death. And so I don't have a problem with having destroyed this this female prosecutor's life. Here she is, Martha Gandy, became Martha Aker. She got married. As a deputy prosecutor, she got married, and 33 to 35 years old, Friday evenings in Reading, they had concerts at the park, and during the summertime, there'd be a band in the park playing for free, and this defendant in this case, he was highly trained in the military. He knows body language like nobody's business, and he sees her in the park. She's a newlywed. It's 9:30 on a Friday evening, and she's alone, drinking a beer, walking through a crowd that she can't even see. He said she was a total zombie at 9:30 on a Friday night as a newlywed.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess you got her.
It was just after she got demoted to fish and game. We took her prestige away.
That's hurt.
That's all these public servants have. And so politically, these criminal complaints and stuff, you build the laundry pile on them. You're somebody they don't want to talk to or talk about.
Well, you've done some fantastic work there. Thank you so much for being with us today. And
please have me back.
I will have you back, and we're going to talk more and get into some of the other cases that you've helped with so that people can see how they can do it for themselves. So thank you so much, and we will be talking to you soon.
Anytime, Melinda. It's been my privilege.
Okay, take care.
You too now. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's our show for today, Friday, June 22nd. At The Spiritual Politician, we search for the deceits used to grab power and to mess around with people's personal lives and help them make changes that are going to help all of us. All of these things have clogged up our system like hair in the drain of life, and what we need is Roto-Rooter Man. And that's exactly what you had tonight. Now, on this show, as we do with all our shows, we end by reading the section of the Declaration of Independence that is America's mission statement. And I know that each of you this week are going to be thinking about your own bill of particulars. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evidence is designed to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. This is Melinda Pillsbury Foster coming to you from BBS Radio. God bless the journey that eventually brings us to freedom, and may God be with you every step of the way. Good night.